Carol Varg could be better defined.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Hello, Steve.
G'day. We've reflected in recent weeks on what that sound does.
Yes.
The THX sound.
What's that all about?
It's like, it feels like it's a bit of a kind of settle in. Get a bit cozy.
Yeah.
Prepare yourself. Sometimes at the start of film and TV, the opposite happens. And
yeah.
This week, a show for people who don't like it, it's the theme of the show will rack people up in a way that's very opposite to the THX thing. I think you can kind of see where I'm trying to get to here.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, cook, I'm on the same page.
Yeah.
But I can also understand that equally as how the show itself is infuriating, its theme song, Frolic, would really get the hair sticking up on the back of your neck in a bad way.
Yeah.
If you find Larry David and, I don't know, what are some of the words you might come to mind? Annoying, abusive, privileged, extremely white, very
pretty,
old.
Pretty good.
you know, for those of us that have slogged through, there's a real joy to it. I mean, I think there must be people that feel the same way about the Curb theme as I did as a child when I'd hear the Coronation Street theme playing in the house, like, oh God, here we go again.
Right, but it has become quite a meme in recent years.
Indeed, indeed. Like, you know, stuff anything up,
pop the
theme on top of it and you're away laughing.
Yeah, away you go. And because the finale just came out for the final ever season, is that right?
Yeah, so it's wrapped up after 12 seasons. Ran pretty much consecutively through the 2000s before taking a break for a few years. And that's a show that in that time it's had such high points and I guess never boring, never coasting, but it's kind of a mix of interrogating social behaviors, obsessive feelings about things, and all from the kind of purview of a wealthy white man is mined a lot in its 120 episodes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And how would you say this season stacks up to some of the previous seasons?
I've enjoyed it, but I haven't loved it this season. And I think I think the sharpness of the show has waned a bit in recent years.
Yeah.
As David says in the finale, I'm 76 years old and I've never learned a lesson in my entire life, which is very true to the character and very true to the way the show wraps up.
Yeah.
But you know, he was in his mid 50s when it started.
Right. So already quite late.
Well, yeah, but I think also the idea of doing, you know, he and his friends had the rhythms, and the experience to do this very improv heavy comedy where, you know, they'd go into a scene kind of knowing where it starts and finishes and having to fill in the middle.
Yeah.
And it's been really hard to tell that that's actually the way that Curb comes about. You know, for the most part, it's indistinguishable from any other sitcom, really. You know, there's no laugh track, obviously, but scenes will play out and it's very easy to not really think too much about the fact that stuff's happening spontaneously.
Yeah.
Not so much I've found in the last couple of seasons, and I think this one in particular, there's a little bit more of perhaps a sense that the cast are not the characters, or perhaps in how other characters are reacting to some of the jokes.
Yeah.
Seems to be getting a little looser, and I don't want to blame age, but maybe after 12 seasons,
it's just not clicking
as well as it did. However, this 12th and final season did do some of the things that has elevated, I think, some of the better seasons of Curb. I mean, you can go in on any of the kind of fixations and specific many specific things that Larry David has taken exception to over the course of the series.
Yeah.
But he's also, while being a kind of cantankerous asshole, woven in a clear liberal politics to the show.
Yeah.
He definitely loves poking fun at authoritarians and you know, people that are too conservative.
Yeah.
And also has enjoyed kind of playing up the Hollywood aspects to his career. I mean, the easy way that's done is in having lots of guest stars. The more creative ways that's been shown was in the superb Seinfeld reunion season.
Yes, I do remember that one.
Which was outstanding. That was definitely a high watermark of the show.
Yeah.
And then in more recent years, he stages a new show, new sitcom based on his life called Young Larry. And so it gives him a chance to kind of get back into the showbiz world again.
Yeah.
Goes to visit the streamers, etc.
That's right.
Relevance.
Yes. Keeping it relevant.
And then there's a sort of political bent to it too. So as well as the Seinfeld season, the other one that I thought was really, really strong was season 10, which was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, the Spite Store.
Spite Store is just such an outstanding concept. So Larry gets surprisingly on the wrong side of a coffee shop owner, Mocha Joe.
Yeah, Mocha Joe.
And to stuff him over, he opens a cafe right next door, calls it a Spite Store.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you've named a thing that I've seen happen for years. It's like
Latte Larry's.
Latte Larry's. That season also had a couple of kind of big swings for the fence. There were a few episodes where he started wearing a MAGA hat. He figured out the way to not get people to talk to you in public that you don't like us to wear a MAGA hat, which I thought was a great way of poking fun of that movement. And there was also a kind of season-long storyline that was a Me Too comedy storyline. His friend Jeff was easily mistaken for Harvey Weinstein.
That's right. That was in season 10 as well.
Larry ended up in a Me Too misunderstanding situation. And it's a really delicate ground to tread, especially for a comedy that's so old and kind of broad in some of its approaches. But I found that he'd always created this character that was like the worst version of himself. And as the show's kind of gone on, and as Larry stayed stuck in his ways, but obviously things have evolved quite a lot in the culture over the last 20 plus years.
Yeah.
So it felt like his solution was to make himself more the butt of the joke, I think, in the later seasons of Curb than he was in the early ones. It's not so much an excuse for his behavior anymore.
No.
Whereas maybe the first few seasons are a soapbox for him to... Well, he's making fun of himself, but it's also a soapbox for him to justify some of his worldview.
Yeah.
I felt like that dropped away, and definitely the Weinstein Me Too Spite Store MAGA hat season was a really nice synthesis of really enjoyable elements of his comedy. Season 12 maintained that smatterings of that political bent. Larry David gets in trouble in Atlanta for giving his friend a water while they're waiting to vote, falling afoul of Georgian electoral law. Trial eventuates, or charges eventuate. He has his mugshot taken, a mugshot where he's doing his damnedest to emulate Trump's hilarious mugshot, kind of looking tough, but also actually feeble.
Yeah, tough and feeble.
And then the finale, without getting too spoilery, it just came out this week, it does involve the eventual court case arising from the bottle of water. Which, you know, is also analogous to the way that Seinfeld ended.
Yeah.
So he's kind of circling back, almost have another crack
at the Seinfeld.
Quite criticized ending of Seinfeld.
Which
saw them finally held accountable for all the ridiculous shit that they had done
on that show,
So there's some really strong similarities, and Jerry Seinfeld does make a welcome guest appearance in this final episode. I won't talk about the final much more than that, other than to say, feeling pretty satisfied this week. And, you know, inevitably the show had to end. I think it's chosen a pretty good way to wrap up. And it's been a real reminder of some of the entertaining things to Larry David's approach.
Yeah.
Seen in Curb.
Wow. Well, a person who definitely sticks in his old ways right throughout to the modern age.
Exactly, the sneakers may change, but they are still sneakers. The electric cars may change, but they're still electric cars.
Yeah.
The obsessive attitude to other people does not go away.
No. You know what I did watch this week, though, was good old New Zealand film Power of the Dog. I hadn't seen that yet, and... A bit slow in the sense maybe a bit slow, and the payoff wasn't quite as what I'd hoped for after watching. Because, you know, I love a good slow burn sometimes, but sometimes they just don't quite pay off towards the end. Yeah,
that's a risk. I mean, for me, I enjoyed the resolution of Power of the Dog. Its pacing was okay for me.
Yeah.
It definitely felt like a choice to wrap that film up the way that it does.
Yeah.
I think maybe when the sort of full implications of what I was watching dawned on me, I kind of liked the ending a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe one that was always kind of worked better in a big screen environment, perhaps.
Yeah, I did watch it on a small laptop, and so it's probably not quite the same, had that quite that same impact. Eating dinner at the same time is probably not a great way to watch a movie, but you know.
How's Benedict Cumberbatch doing an American accent for you? Because I find that he is a bit difficult.
Yeah, it didn't. It was almost quite stereotypical, it felt, the accent. But I think as the movie went on, I forgot about that aspect of it and was like, okay, he's American. But there was that New Zealand actor in it, I remember, who was one of his sidekicks, maybe towards the beginning of the film, and he does an American accent. I can't remember his name, but he wears little glasses. And he was in like Hunt for the Wilder People and things like that. But his accent, I was like, ooh, sounds a bit Kiwi, that one. But,
look, you try and iron out our vowels. Eh?
Yeah, it's a bit hard.
The Cumberbatch that I think about with the accent is elsewhere I've heard him sort of made fun of as being the kind of the epitome of the over-enunciating Englishman doing an American accent. I am Dr. Stephen Strange. Yeah. And sort of everything's all angled.
Yes, indeed.
And it's my accent. Whereas Americans can drawl with the best of them.
That's right. A relaxing drawl, as they might have.
Speaking of Americans, yes. I saw a film called Civil War last week.
Oh, my God. So what's your take on that film?
Kind of mixed. And really, that's probably not unexpected from director Alex Garland. He makes challenging films. His last film was Men, which was a really interesting, I guess, psychological horror set in the countryside.
Mm.
And it lived up to its title by unleashing a bunch of dudes who all had Rory Kinnear's face, thanks special effects, to torment Jesse Buckley. It had lots of interesting things to say and kind of kept me guessing right to the end. So I was expecting from this film that it wouldn't be a big action-packed set piece, special effects, let's watch the Empire State Building get blown up type movie.
Although this is A24's sort of first round to higher budget.
I did have to fact check myself last week. It's not their most expensive film, but it's definitely in the upper tier of what they've been spending on production budgets.
Yeah.
Look, the things that are good about it are things, unfortunately, that we've seen a little bit of elsewhere recently.
Right, nothing new.
It follows some photojournalists traveling across the United States. The country's ravaged by war. There's various factions. There's a president who won't leave office. There are a couple of different factions fighting for control of the country as well. It's very much this could happen here is kind of the subtext of the whole film.
Right,
it's not even subtext. It's just the film is. These are the horrors of warfare. This is what it looks like, and this is what it looks like in the United States. Really great jumping off point, and I think a really great message to be sending against the backdrop of what's happening there politically and with the election and the societal fragmentation that's happening. Thing is, visually, we've seen a bunch of the stuff with The Last of Us recently.
Yeah.
So shots like driving up a highway where there's lots of bombed out, ruined cars doesn't hit the same way that it might have hit a year or two ago.
Yeah, right. Just because of the volume of other things that have
happened. Yeah, and similarly, that idea that this could happen here, that human beings are, you know, prone to some of the most awful atrocities and we need to be vigilant about them.
Mm.
These are all things that I got hammered around by the zone of interest last year. I thought a lot more about humanity in the present day after seeing Zone of Interest, a movie about Auschwitz, than I did watching this film that's supposed to more evoke contemporary United States. That's interesting. But look, those are two very, very strong properties that I'm comparing this film unfavorably to. It's enjoyable. It's interesting. There's a lot of stuff to ponder, consider. The world building in it is withheld from us a little bit, so there's no sort of clear answers as to exactly how the United States has gotten to where it is
right.
in this pick. So it's a president clinging on for his third term. He's kind of Trumpy. Like, he's not a Trump impersonator. He's played by Nick Offerman. But the film does open with him rehearsing for a speech where he's using lots of the same sort of hyperbolic exaggerations that I think we can be familiar with Trump.
Yeah.
The other things that are sort of withheld from us, the details are missing. At one point, a character refers to the Antifa massacre. And it occurred to me at the time that could be a number of different things.
Yes.
If you think that Antifa is this evil force, maybe they massacred a bunch of people, maybe a bunch of them got massacred. So there's a real opacity to the world that's been created. I think that might frustrate people a little bit, but really at its core, it's a film about a small group of journalists, predominantly photojournalists, who are undertaking a dangerous mission. We're seeing things through their eyes. They're sort of being pulled along with forces on the front line. And so, they're seeing the sorts of horrors that journalists document around the world all the time and beam into American living rooms.
Mm.
So there's real merit to it. Garland's a good filmmaker. There's a lot of ambiguity, but maybe it wasn't quite the knockout punch I was hoping for.
Yeah.
Especially if he's to be believed, it might be his last film. So,
oh, really? Wow.
I'd like that not to be the case, please, Alex.
Do you think there are certain groups of people in the US or around the world that might be quite annoyed at this kind of movie? Like they might feel it's poking fun at them or not that it...
That's a great question. There's definitely some sort of rednecky type characters. And I think it's in those areas, in those depictions where some liberalism among the cast and filmmakers kind of comes through.
Mm.
But
nothing.
It's got some confrontational elements, but yeah, it's certainly not saying if you vote Republican, you're a piece of shit or vice versa.
Mm.
You're not a piece of shit. Yeah.
They're not going to label it as some kind of democratic propaganda.
Oh, bound to. But I mean, the idea of releasing a movie like this in April with this sort of incendiary title and concept. Oh, they're just waiting. They're just waiting for the first Truth Social post.
Yeah.
Cranked out while Trump sits on a toilet.
Exactly.
To start selling some tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
I think worth seeing on the big screen, I saw this at IMAX. It was loud. The gunshots scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
It was really created a great tension. This is a big screen movie. I think the sorts of areas where it might not have knocked me for six are ones where, like, they'll only be more obvious at home. So with a trip to the movies, I think this is definitely one where everyone was having pretty spirited conversations afterwards as well. There's some stuff happens in the last few minutes you're definitely going to want to talk about.
Yeah, wow.
We'll leave it there.
Wow, thank you so much, Steve. And hope you enjoy your week ahead of movies.
Oh, look, there's going to be plenty to look forward to.
Fantastic. All right, well, we'll catch you next week.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.